December 29, 2013, morning service. Today we are going to start from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. As I mentioned yesterday, Paul repeatedly says that he was commissioned to be an apostle by the will of God and not by people. So if you're commissioned by God, it is important to do what he wants us to do. It's like you're the salesperson and God is the client. You have to do what the client asked you to do. The other day, after our morning prayer, we went to a restaurant where they serve breakfast. They asked us our preferences for the order about the egg, rice, and a bunch of other things, and they served us exactly what we requested. Although they are paid to do that, not every business would be like that. There are some business establishments, like a book printer, that they would initially agree on the deadline but never submit the work on the promised date, but have the audacity to send us the invoice. We asked them to use a certain distributor, but they said they couldn't. And when we asked for the reason, they just said that's the way it is. So we decided never to use the printer. So going back to the commission, when God commissions us to be an apostle, teacher, servant, or staff of a church, or whatever, he wills us to do certain things, like the restaurant staff asking us how we want the breakfast to be served. You might be trying to fulfill the order, but it is possible that you could be doing something totally different from the will of God. So when we are doing the works for the Lord, we have to follow His instructions. We cannot be so stubborn with our wish and wants and ignoring His will. But I feel that a lot of Christians in Japan are now doing whatever they want, completely disregarding God's will. You know, when you go to a restaurant and if the waiter serves the food exactly the way you ordered, you would love the place and the person. The place we go for breakfast is like that. We have a waiter that is really good and he remembers all the details. And he even knows my name. And he even knows when he can find me home, because he called me when I was home. That was a little scary though. But as for our book, no one asked us to write the book. No publisher asked us to publish the book. But we felt that it was God's will. So since it is God's will, of course, we see a lot of resistance. But I also feel that God's will is stronger. I was surprised with the number of pre-orders we received. People say you don't normally sell much for self-publishing, but we received at least 200 to 300 orders, which surprised all of us. So what I'm trying to say is that many Christians do not know all the detailed requests God has given us. And we, as God's servants, are serving tea, coffee, black tea, dessert, or whatever we want, thinking this is all God's will. The problem of Christian community is that we are missing the mark, which is the true will of God. Like teaching a false doctrine about the Great Tribulation, for example. And as you know, missing the mark also means to sin. Paul did what was will of God by spreading the gospel and raising up churches. The same thing with our church. If we are doing God's will, we will enter to receive His blessings, and if not, we will get off the path and when we will not stand. We are still on the first verse. We are still on the first verse. This expression, the promise of life, appears many times in the Bible too, and we want to look into the meaning of it. What is the promise of life? When you work for a company, you work from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6. And even if you want to be doing something else, you are promised to be paid a certain amount of salary, so you choose to be there in given hours. That's the promise of paycheck. Paul was given the responsibility to do the work as an apostle. It looks glorious at a time that he was anointed with the power to heal and then to do all the miracles. But he was also stoned by the Jews and he went through severe persecutions. And he received the reward. There is no monetary reward he received for doing the work of the Lord, but the reward he received in exchange for his apostolic work was the eternal life. And that's the promise of life. I personally feel that I was commissioned to be a teacher and maybe a prophet, but not an apostle. But I do feel God's will in the work I do for the Lord. No work is for free. You always receive reward, which is the promise of God. Of course, doing the work of the Lord is not easy because it does not seem to be rewarding in the natural, in the eyes of human, but you always receive the promise of God. Jesus himself said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So actually, the reward for the work for the Lord is so much more profitable and much greater than we originally thought. I have been serving the Lord for over 20 years. And when I compared myself before serving the Lord and after starting to serve the Lord, one thing that is distinctly different is that I have more clarity. I know which path to follow. I did not have that clarity before. When I think about the path I was on before, it still scares me. But when you do what is commissioned by God, he has promised for the eternal life. And Paul, still in flesh, foresaw what was awaiting for him was a crown of righteousness. Even when we are still in flesh, When you do the work for the Lord, we start seeing more clearly. So I am not worried much about life because I know I am moving towards the right direction. One thing I know is that most so-called Christians do not do the works for the Lord. They just sit around and hear the word, but no action. That's the majority of them. I'm not condemning them. But I do strongly suggest you to do the work of the Lord, because you are the only person who would lose or gain from the work, no one else. When the Lord puts the message into my heart, I will speak about it again and again. But I won't be here forever reminding you. From the second verse, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. You're praying night and day, or morning, day and night, as appeared in the Bible as a form of prayer, as a priest of the Lord. Is very important. Even now, the form does not change. Greatly desiring to see you, being merciful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louis and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. Here, I want to explain more about laying of my hands. I don't do much of this nowadays, and it is not because of my laziness. If God directs me, I will do more. But for now, I try not to do so much of laying of my hands. You can give and receive the Spirit as well as the anointing by laying hands. And Paul says here clearly that he has given Timothy the gift of God. Paul is not saying Timothy may have received it. He says he did receive it. So if someone has the gift from God, and when he lays hands on you, you will sure to receive the gift from the person. That's how Elijah gave his anointing to Elisha. So Paul is saying that he gave Timothy the gift, and Timothy was to use the gift. It is like if I buy your dictionary and you come back to me and ask me for meaning of a word, I will be upset and then say, you better use the dictionary I bought for you. Same thing with the gift from God. If you were to receive it, you have to use it. When you have spiritually sound people laying hands on you to anoint you, you will receive the gift. But if someone who is not spiritually sound lay hands on you, you will be in trouble. Have you seen the Toronto Blessing videos? When they had the conference, they had a guest speakers like Benny Hinn, and when the speakers came out and laid hands on people, their faces got twisted and contorted and started laughing. It was so demonic, I thought. I could see the spirit is being imparted. In this case, I think it was the evil spirit. So when you want someone to lay hands on you, don't just ask anyone. But you have to be very selective. I have heard the stories of people who are suffering from improper impartations of the spirit. And the Bible says the mark of the beast will appear on their right hand or on their forehead. A hand and the forehead? That's laying hands. People talk about the barcode, number 666, and microchip and all that, but spiritually speaking, I think the mark is given by laying on hands. I think people from the church of Antichrist can lay hands on people, and people can receive the mark of the beast. Verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Japanese translation says modest mind, but the King James Version says a sound mind. So the spirit of God is very sound. And nothing extreme or out of line. Lucifer would try to deceive people with fake light because he used to be an angel of light, but the message from him would always be a bit twisted and unhealthy and extreme, like preaching that there is no hell or hyper grace, that you can be forgiven from any sins even if you keep sinning. But the Spirit of God is very healthy and very sound. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. When you start declaring that Jesus is the Lord, we should not feel ashamed. When we start doing that, there will be an attack by the enemy to make you feel ashamed. So, we have to keep praying to be strengthened that we will not be ashamed. Or we will not be attacked. Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you before the Father. This lady from our congregation was witnessing Jesus at home. She has a book of Isaiah stapled on her door, and the delivery guys and anyone who would come to her house would read it. She said, when she had a person who came to change the water filter, she started teaching him from Isaiah. That is testifying Christ to the world. I also carry a business card, and the people even at work would see my business card and find out that I'm also a pastor. And then we would start a conversation about their experience with Christianity. And so the lady was telling the filter guy about the Bible, and then he told her that he used to be really into the Bible, and he was not satisfied with the Japanese translation, and he even self-taught Hebrew. So he was very happy to be assigned to her home, and she gave him our book, and he went home happily. So we should not be ashamed. Even reading the Bible in a public place is silently witnessing Christ. So I always read Bible when I have a cup of coffee or when I have a lunch break. You can hide it if you want to, but you have to be bold about it. So I recommend you to train yourself to always witness Christ. Paul says he's a prisoner of Christ, and not be ashamed of him. Paul was proud to be one. Don't be ashamed when you hear a Christian being arrested or imprisoned because of the faith. It is happening in the United States now when people are protesting, saying that the same-sex marriage is against Bible teaching. I believe that it will come to Japan too. When that happens, do not be ashamed of the fellow Christians who are persecuted for the cause. Paul says, "But share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, which is the correct way to handle the persecution." Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So it is clear that God has given His own plan and the purpose, and those who are called to the faith and become the followers of Christ, God has a special assignment for all of us. So do not ignore God's instruction by doing whatever you want to do. We must follow God's plan. Otherwise, you are just being distraction of His work, even if you are not intending to be one. But the real blessing comes when you are aligned with God's grand plan.